You guys have got to give it up for that again. That was awesome. Disciple maker. All right. Well, guys, it is great to be with you. Patrick and I bring you greetings from the Saints in Washington, D.C. Amen. I'm going to have my wife share some good news and how she was impacted from the Women's Day and just so grateful for this church as well. Amen.
You know, I'm so inspired by the women's ministry here in Chicago. You know, my prayer is that we can build something like that in Washington, D.C. It was inspiring to see so many disciples that, you know, I was in their Bible studies, and now they're so different. I mean, Ashley's dating. Whoa. Chip, I got my eye on you. I love you, bro. You're awesome. I'm very grateful for you and Ashley's life. You know, it was so inspiring seeing Brittany share. I remember when Brittany was studying the Bible. She's such a different young woman. I'm very inspired by you. And I'm excited to share with some of the campus women back in D.C. about who you've become, because they can change like you have. You know, it was great to hear the moms share. You know, Christina and her mom shared, and Lucy and Teresa shared. And it's just so awesome, you know, because my mom, she's not a Christian yet, and my prayer is that she can become one. A few days ago, my aunt died, and it's been hard, but, you know, God is my great comforter. And I know that this death can be the turning point in my mother's life.
Amen.
So please be praying for her.
Amen.
And also for me and the rest of our family. You know, it was so inspiring hearing Kama share about the practicals of raising kids and getting them involved, and I thought, okay, well, when we have kids, I'm going to call you, Kama, to get some advice, right, as well as many other women. But it was just so great. You know, when we got to Chicago, Roger was just talking a lot about a young woman and just so excited about her. Her name is Nikki.
Amen.
Where's Nikki? And he was talking about how she does this flag routine. And he was like, it just moves your heart.
Amen.
And I thought, a flag routine? Like, Roger, you okay? I didn't know what he meant. And then yesterday I saw Nikki perform and her sister sing, and I was like, I have never seen anything like that. Now, I've seen spiritual dancers and ecumenical dancers before, but Nikki, you take the cake. You are talented. And I think the biggest thing that I saw in your was your heart. I think that separates you from all the other women I've ever seen, and I'm very inspired by you. You know, it was encouraging to talk to women after sharing. I shared a lot about my life, which is very hard. And just to hear the women who were impacted, I'm very grateful that God was able to work. Just want to bring you some good news from Washington, D.C. There's a lot of good news to share, but I'm going to stick to one campus. I'll stick with Howard University. You know, when I went to school in Baltimore, and, you know, everyone talks about Howard. How is this? How is that? How is all that? You know? And, I thought, you know, I'm not gonna apply to Howard. I wanna go to a different school. And, you know, I was really prideful in high school, and I thought to myself, they should ask me to go.
No!
Just to share with you a little bit about who I am. And the crazy thing is they did write me and ask me to come to their school. And that wasn't good for my pride. But, you know, God's humbled me. God is humbled. He continues to humble me. So be rest assured, okay? So God is humbling this sister right here. And, you know, it's been so great to be at Howard. It's a very religious campus, a lot of religious groups. But one of the awesome things is, you know, the brothers hooked up with Kofi.
Amen.
And, you know, with Kofi is a hard worker.
Amen.
With his work and the work of some of the other brothers and sisters in the church, from February to now, Howard has gone from 1 to 6. It will be 6 at 2 p.m. today, because a young woman by the name of Akila, like Akila and the Bee, will be getting baptized. It's really encouraging. There's another brother there, but there's a set of twins that got baptized in February. And it's really exciting. They dress the same every day. And I mean every day. And I mean the same every day. And it's really encouraging, because they're fired up for God. They're always sharing their faith. On one day, they got up early in the morning and put flyers under every door in their dorm so that people could come out. And today, they're going to be baptizing Akila. But please be praying for Washington, D.C. as God adds to our numbers through baptism, restorations, and place membership, but we're very grateful for the example that you guys are setting here in Chicago. You guys are heroes to us.
Amen.
You are, and many in D.C. know of you, so if you come and they say hi and they know you by name, it's because we talk about you guys a lot. But we love you and thank you so much.
Amen. How you guys doing? You good? You ready to get in the word? All right. Amen. Well, guys, I want to let you know the church definitely sends its love and appreciation for your faith and for your financial support to help Washington, D.C. get planted in September of last year. And since that time, God has blessed our efforts. We've gone from 18 sold out disciples to almost now 40 disciples. Amen. And we've been inspired because, you know, we had Chris and Teresa come on down for our men's forum and women's day in April, and it's encouraging to be able to return the favor, amen? But it's been awesome. Chris and I, you guys know Chris and I, man. We're like, you know, Ebony and Aubrey right here. I mean, it's just, we are tight. And, you know, I think, well, the thing I appreciate most about Chris is that he is a man of all heart. You will never get any fakeness from him. He will tell you what you need to hear and not just what you want to hear. And, brother, I am grateful for you. You're the reason why I'm a Christian today, and you're the reason why I'm in the ministry today. And I'm very grateful for you, bro. I know Patrick feels the same for Teresa. And, guys, it's just inspiring. It's been inspiring to be here with you. Building a church in our nation's capital is a pretty inspiring thing. I got my pin on here, you know, got the whole red, white, and blue thing going on for you. I was telling the shepherding couples on Thursday night that there's no other place in the world where you could come and see the inauguration of our nation's first black president. And guys, we were out there during inauguration. We have to be out there. Like, we live in D.C., but we're like, you know what? We gotta go and be a part of this. You don't want to just watch it on TV. So we go, and guys, I mean, we were stuck near the porta potties. And we thought, oh, we're going to be able to make it. We were in the porta potties. People were sitting on top of the porta potties fighting for spots. There was this one guy that, move over, you got space, move over, to sit on the porta potty. Not to be able to see Obama. No, he's like a mile up on the National Mall. They just want to see the TV. Guys, it was crazy. And then to be able to see Colin Powell, guys. We finished the inauguration, and my wife and I were walking, and it's her brother and his friend with us, and all of a sudden, her brother's friend says, isn't that Colin Powell? We're like, that's Colin Powell! Get out of here! So we start running, Patrick like runs up, hey, Mr. Powell, how are you? Great to meet you! So I run up, man, and I'm taking a picture, and like, because, you know, he's a fellow Jamaican. Amen? He's a fellow Jamaican. I was like, oh, I didn't have my invites on him. So, but then he started like walking quick now. Because I would have thought like a 4-star general, joint chief of staff dude would have like his entourage. This dude's walking in with his wife. Doot, 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 doot. Just rolling on. Guys, that's Washington, D.C. And we reach out on the Metro to lobbyists who work on Capitol Hill. We reach out to Army generals Army majors on the Metro when we stop at the Pentagon. It's crazy. But it's also been challenging as well. The God of this age, Satan, has blinded the minds of unbelievers. And, you know, after sharing our faith with thousands of people, we've come to realize that D.C. is a city like any other, filled with exceedingly bright and educated people from all over the world whose hearts have become increasingly hard and self-absorbed. Many have substituted intelligence for integrity. Their religion is the rat race of their career and bars in immorality. It's interesting because despite all the pretty suits and the nice cars, they stink spiritually. And, you know, it's intense because a lot of them, man, they have extensive educations, but it's blinded them to the stupidity of their moral characters. They have no purpose for their lives besides their materialistic pursuits. And I think for me personally, I've had to learn and develop the strength to love more and more. Come on, bro. Can I confess my heart to you real quick here? You know, sometimes it's not easy to sacrifice time, money, and effort to love people. You ever feel that way?
Yeah.
Maybe you can relate. I believe God allows us to go through pain and disappointment as we try to love people to help us see how much, how crazy we are and how much God truly goes through to love us.
Yeah.
See, you know, sometimes we think, oh man, what in the world is going to be easy? All you got to do is sit down and show, show someone the Bible studies and you get to go, right? Not at all, guys. The time, the sacrifice, the effort. It's a lot of work. But I think the question I have for you this morning is, do you have the strength to love? Do you have the strength to love? We're doing this series right now in D.C. called Strength to Love. So I've been inspired from my quiet times by Martin Luther King Jr. He wrote this book called Strength to Love. It's a whole collection of his sermons, and it's powerful for me. Because I had to realize, wow, hold on a second here. How's my love doing?
Yeah.
Am I starting to pull back just a little bit? And guys, that is when Satan starts to take control of your heart. There's a point where literally from in 30 days, between like somewhere between February and March, we baptized 6 people in 30 days. And then the next 2 weeks, it was, despite our best efforts, it was dry. We're pouring out, dry, praying, dry. What do you do? What do you do? And my heart, I just felt it. It started just to pull back just a little bit.
Come on.
Maybe I don't really need to share my faith with this guy in the train.
Come on.
Maybe I don't really need to go the extra mile to love this person right now. You know, then I had a quiet time, amen? I got spiritual. Turn over to Matthew chapter 24. I tell you that scripture in Matthew 24, and I know today is your mission's contribution, but it's also a love offering. Today is a love offering. We're getting ready for ours at the end of May. And I pray that it's given because of your love for God and your love for others. You with me here? So let's take a quick look at why our heart to love is so important. Matthew 24, starting in verse 9. It says here, then you will be handed over to be persecuted and put to death, and you will be hated by all nations because of me. At that time, many will turn away from the faith and will betray and hate each other, and many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. But he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Let's stop there. You know, in this passage, Jesus is talking to his disciples, right? He's talking to them about, in the first century, about events that were to come and the destruction of the Jewish temple by the Romans in AD 70. And I look at this passage and it relates to us today, guys. We live in a time where we will be persecuted for the sake of preaching the truth of God's word. You know, I appreciate our brother Kofi. Because after Kofi got baptized, Kofi is a seminarian. He goes to the Howard University School of Divinity. We baptized a seminarian. And after he got baptized, you better believe the persecution was coming. He was part of ANQ, this Christian fraternity on campus. And we came on in, and he asked us, hey, can you preach the word? Guess what I preached? Discipleship. All of a sudden, the room got quiet. And you know, I asked, hey, do you guys have any questions? And there were some people whose hearts were cut. Like, man, I'm not living this. I mean, we had Bible talks at Howard University. 15, 17 people coming out to Bible talk. Consistently. And it was convicting because after that, oh baby, all of a sudden, he's getting persecuted. Whispering, talking. The same quote-unquote Christians who are supposed to be loving him as a brother in A&Q now are gossiping behind his back. That's the world we live in, guys. Many false prophets will appear and deceive many people. Saying, hey, have your best life now. I don't need to talk about sin. I just tell people to love Jesus. And don't talk about what they need to change in their characters.
Talk about it, bro. Come on.
But it says here, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold. And I have to ask myself, well, when I see the world, when you see the world, you see all the wickedness, and you get rejected for trying to preach the truth, does your love grow cold? Because it's convicting here, it says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. Now, I've read this passage maybe over 100 times. But something really caught me recently that really struck my heart. It's the fact that normally we think, well, he who stands firm to the end, who is faithful to the end, will be saved, right? Yep. But what is it talking about right here? It says, because of the increase of wickedness, the love of most will grow cold, comma, but he who stands firm to the end, in what? In love, will be saved. How's your love this morning? Are you tempted to hold on back and not give the same heart you had when you were a baby Christian? Guys, we got, before we even jump in, we got to have some serious conviction about the heart we need to have for God, the heart we need to have for each other, and the heart we need to have for the lost. Otherwise, our mission contribution will just be a giving rather than a love offering. You with me here? I want to prepare our hearts and minds as we give this morning. You know, it's been incredible to see your love for God. Chris has been telling me all the good news. 21 souls added this year alone. That is incredible. Amen? And God willing, we're going to see a brother get baptized today. But you know what? It's going to take even more love to nurture those 21 babies in the Lord. And more financial sacrifice to support the leadership that will guide those babies in the Lord. But do you see this has got to be out of love? And nothing else. That's why we take up missions, guys. I thank God for Joel and Brittany cranking on staff here. Hearing all the good news. I remember Joel. I remember Joel and Patrick, man. Backseat of the church back in the day. Before they were heroes of the faith here. I remember. But guys, I am so proud of you. I'm very proud of you. Continue to hold up the hands of Chris here. I'm very proud of you. Guys, to see the opportunity you have to support the work in India. To see that you have the opportunity to support Jay and the work going on in the West. Guys, it is awesome to see the opportunity we have right now. But we got to prepare our hearts. That's why financial sacrifice is always a good indicator of where our hearts are at. Matthew 6:21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I've heard it said, love is the root of missions. You can't really go and do great things for God unless you're rooted in love here. Love is the root of missions. Sacrifice is the fruit of missions. Unless we sacrifice, guys, there will be no fruit. If we didn't have people on staff here in this church, would you see 21 baptisms? 21 souls that were saved because we were able to invest in people instead of investing in a building. The world goes and invests millions into a building in Washington, D.C. Oh, my gosh. The Catholic University of America has this basilica. Millions upon, hundreds of millions of dollars to build this thing. Unbelievable. And I asked myself, wow, if they poured that amount of money into raising up true ministers in the faith, I wonder where religion would be today.
Wow, come on.
Guys, so often we're tempted to think the only riches of this earth are of this world. So often we're tempted to believe that the only fortune we can obtain is monetary. Well, guys, today I'm going to tell you different. Today I'm going to tell you the story of a rich man who by worldly standards was considered extremely successful. Yet Jesus called him a fool. At the height of his prosperity, he died. Turn me to Luke chapter 12.
Come on, bro.
Luke chapter 12. As you turn there, listen to this news report I found given this past Wednesday morning on CNN. It says this: David Kellerman, the acting chief financial officer, CFO, the big dog, of mortgage giant Freddie Mac, was found dead at his home Wednesday morning. And what police said was an apparent suicide. Mary Ann Jennings, Director of Public Information of the Fairfax County, Virginia Police Department, reported that David Kellerman was found dead in his Reston, Virginia home. That's right outside D.C., guys. The 41-year-old Kellerman had been Freddie Mac's chief financial officer since September. McLean-based Freddie Mac had been criticized heavily for reckless business practices that some argue contributed to the housing and financial crisis. Freddie Mac is a government-controlled company that owns or guarantees about 13 million home loans. CEO David Moffitt resigned last month. Freddie Mac and its sibling company, Fannie Mae, which together own or back more than half of the home mortgages in the country, have been hobbled by the skyrocketing loan defaults and have received about $60 billion in combined federal aid. Kellerman was named acting chief financial officer in September 2008. That's when we started the church. After the resignation of Anthony Buddy Pizzell, who stepped down after the September 2008 government takeover, the chief financial officer is responsible for the company's financial controls, financial reporting, and the oversight of the company's budget and financial planning. Before taking that job, Kellerman served as the senior vice president, corporate controller, and principal accounting officer. He was with Freddie Mac for more than 16 years. It's a pretty sad story, isn't it? 41 years old, wife, kids. Looks like he has everything in the world. Commits suicide. Well, the man we're going to read about today in the Bible was probably also considered a big shot. Had social prestige and respectability. He's probably one of the privileged few. But yet Jesus, a peasant from Galilee, had the audacity to call him a fool. The title of the message this morning is The Man Who Was a Fool. Let's pray that we're not fools this morning as well.
Come on, bro.
Luke chapter 12, starting in verse 13. Someone in the crowd said to him, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." Jesus replied, "Man, who appointed me a judge or an arbiter between you?" I wonder how he said that. "Man." Then he said, "Watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And he told them a parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops." Then he said, "This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, 'You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool! This very night, your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?' This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not rich toward God."
Come on.
Kind of preaches itself, doesn't it?
Come on, bro.
Guys, Jesus shares his story as a parable, right?
Yeah.
What's a parable? An earthly story with a spiritual meaning. Now, Jesus didn't call this man a fool because he was rich. No, that's not the point. He didn't call him a fool because he possessed wealth. It's not sinful to have wealth. But because he misused his wealth. Money can be used for good and evil, guys. You're about to do something especially good today. But apparently, and apparently, this man didn't make his money in a dishonest way. Doesn't seem like it. He probably acquired his wealth with good hard work. Right? Business savvy, maybe the vision of a good businessman. But yet, Jesus calls him a fool. Why? Why? You know, nothing in wealth is inherently evil. You know, sometimes, I've even seen in the kingdom, sometimes people think, well, we all just got to be poor. No, that's not true. in the world. It's like some people take this like vow of poverty. That's nonsense. That's absolutely nonsense. How are you gonna use your worldly wealth to gain friends if you're broke? If you ain't taking care of your finances? That's nonsense. Nothing in wealth is inherently evil, and nothing in poverty is inherently righteous. So why did Jesus call him a fool? Point number one, he lost his life in his livelihood. He lost his life in his livelihood. Guys, the rich man was a fool because he allowed the means by which he lived to take priority over the ends for which he lived. Let me break that down to you here. With a godly focus, the ends justify the means. I'm trying to get to heaven. I'm trying to get my wife to heaven. And I'm trying to take as many friends as I can with me. You with me here? Yeah. Hopefully that's your goal too. One day if you get a wife or a spouse. Amen. However, guys, if we're not careful, the need to like sustain ourselves physically can overshadow the spiritual purpose for which we've been created. Right? I mean, Chris shared about it. Patrick and I gave up our careers. I'll do it over again. I could care less. I'll be bored out. You know what? I know where I would be today. I would be some middle-level manager working in a hospital in New York City, bored out of my mind, sleeping with different men in the bars, not having a lot of friends because I didn't trust people. I know where I would be.
Come on, man.
And I think about my life being married almost 4 years coming up in August right now. The relationships I have in the church, doing something that I could never dreamed is so awesome. To see men become disciples and then have them become make other disciples. Having an eternal significance. I realize, guys, I could save someone in the operating table, but they're going to get up and live the same life they did before. Those are all noble things. There's a lot of noble things we can do. But, guys, let me tell you something. There is nothing more noble than helping someone become a Christian.
Yeah, that's right.
There is nothing that has more of an eternal significance than helping someone becoming a Christian. There's nothing else. Nothing. You know, if you believe in God, you understand there's a physical and a spiritual realm, right? You got the material stuff we need to exist, right? You got the jobs. You got your homes. You got your clothes. You got your food. But guess what? Spiritually, it's the same thing, guys. Spiritually, it's the same thing. What's our job? What's our mission? To make disciples of Jesus. Where's our home? The kingdom of God, the church. Right here on earth? What are we supposed to clothe ourselves with? The godly character of Jesus. And what's our food? What's our spiritual nourishment? The Word of God. It's the same thing. How you doing spiritually? Do you spend more time primping yourself in the morning than spending time in the Word? Let's talk about it. Do you spend more money getting the iPod or the phone or the car? You know, I really appreciate the brothers in Syracuse. This brother last Sunday got up and shared. He's like, you know what? I have a 2008 Honda Accord. I'm in sin. I need to go. I'm gonna go back. I'm gonna turn this car in. I'm gonna get a different car so I can give more money for missions. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about, guys. Now, this doesn't mean that providing for our physical needs are important, right? Otherwise, the Bible would be irrelevant for our daily living. You know, our souls are crushed if our bellies are aching. You know what I'm saying? You got to make sure we got to take care of ourselves. And Jesus knows what we need, the food, right? The shelter, the clothing. That's why Matthew 6:32, he says, for the pagans run after all these things, but your Heavenly Father knows you need them. He knows what you need, guys. It's not like Jesus is like, I'm going to let this dude suffer. He needs to prove it. No. God wants you to be taken care of. But Jesus also knows that we're more than just dogs that are satisfied by the economic bones of job and home and clothes. In the world, it's like, job. Girlfriend.
Come on, talk about it.
He knows we're more than just dogs. Guys, a job can't satisfy you. When I talk to men in D.C., sharp, intelligent, smart guys. I'll dead them in the face. I'm like, okay, well, what's your purpose? What are you living for? If you were to take away your job, what would you have to live for? If you were to take away your spouse, would you have anything worth living for? Your kids? Your relationship, the different things you do? See, guys, we are created by God and for God, for His purpose. We got to get off our agenda and start getting onto God's agenda right here. But people lose their lives and their livelihood. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew 6:33, but seek third, after your job and after your spouse, then seek the kingdom. That's the book of second opinions right there. It says, seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Yep. Guys, I remember when I became a disciple, my junior year at Cornell University. And after I became a disciple, I had this opportunity to go to Brandeis University.
That's right.
I had this opportunity to go to Brandeis University, and literally, it was all expenses paid, man. Pay for your room, boarding, food, everything. And they give you a $4,000 scholarship. Everything you possibly want. And this is an internship where literally I'll be going on to advance my career and to get into grad school. And I sat down with the brothers and they were like, well, bro, I'll be honest with you, man. This is not a good situation. This is not a good situation. You're going to go to Brandeis or Massachusetts. There's no sister church there. And guess what's going to happen? Hey, Drew. You want to come hang with us? Hey, Drew. You want to come chill with us, man? What do you think is going to happen? All alone, baby Christian, in the dorms at a pagan university. So I said, well, I guess what am I going to do? I got $4,000. No, I'm poor. $4,000. Right? Advance my career with this internship, all expenses paid, versus stay in Syracuse with the brothers.
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Woo. Stay in Syracuse with the brothers and save my soul. And you know what happened? Guess what I picked? I stayed in Syracuse. And guys, let me tell you, that was the most amazing summer of my life. I built relationships with the brothers there. I mean, to this day, it's incredible. Played ping pong until 2 o'clock in the morning. And as a baby Christian, I remember studying the Bible with this guy, Jake Ramsey, and baptizing him. He just Facebooked me the other day. Yeah. He Facebooked me the other day. Playing the guitar, man, he's awesome. Guys, it was incredible. But here's the good news. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well, right? Well, amazing summer. Grew in the Lord. Built great friendships. Baptized a guy. My first guy. Got a little taste. Got back to Cornell senior year. I'm like, well, let's see what happens. Applied to grad school. Let's see what happens. Guys, not only did I get accepted into grad school, I got accepted into Cornell grad school. Not only did I get accepted to Cornell grad school, I got a half scholarship of $35,000. God has our back. That's my personal story. Are you losing your life and your livelihood? See, guys, if you stop seeking first the kingdom, if you start giving the world your best, Jesus will also call you a fool.
Yes. Yes.
Where are you this morning?
Come on.
You know, Proverbs 30 reminds me that, you know what? I'm just going to be grateful for the little that I have. I'll show you this real quick. In Proverbs chapter 30, I truly believe the tragedy of this rich man was that he sought the means first, his abundant possessions. And in the process, his ends, his eternal salvation, were swallowed up by the means. The richer this man became materially, the poorer he became spiritually. In Proverbs chapter 30, we're going to take a look here in verse 7, but I wonder about this rich man that we just read about. I wonder, You know, he might have been married, but he probably couldn't love his wife. Maybe he was on the road all the time, didn't have time to spend with her. Maybe he gave her a lot of gifts, necklaces, jewelry, but didn't give her the love and affection she really needed. Maybe he had kids, but he couldn't love them. He didn't have time out making money. I wonder how the wife and kids of David Kellerman feel right now. I wonder what Kellerman was thinking before he decided to take his life. I guess he thought his financial status and possessions were the only things worth living for. With all that money, all that prestige, Jesus would have called him a fool too. In Proverbs 30, this is a great scripture. I'm going to share this with you real quick. It says here in verse 7, "Two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, 'Who is the Lord?' Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of my God." See, God doesn't want you to be on either end. He just wants you to be taken care of so you can go make disciples. That's the goal, guys. You know, sometimes we get so caught up in our livelihood we forget why we were put on this earth. Many of you know that my mother died of colon cancer last August, August 28th. And we buried her September 7th, and our inaugural service for D.C. was September 14th. And I don't remember when, but I remember her saying to my dad, could have been a couple months or a year before her death, she said to him, "All these years I've worked, and for what? Stress and heartache." My mother said that. No, God wants us to provide true life to people. He wants us to give them hope. A life that we are living, guys, to help the world know the truth and so be saved. That's an eternal significance right there. You know, Proverbs 11:30 states that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he who wins souls is wise. Patrick alluded to it already. God has been working powerfully. It's been so inspiring. And it's crazy because even at Howard, to see how literally Kofi met Kamal, Kamal met this guy Onyekachi. I'm going to share with you about this guy Onyekachi real quick. When we first met Onyekachi, this dude was calling himself OJ. And we're studying the Bible and I'm like, "Hey man, well, what does OJ stand for?" It's a Nigerian name, and it means Onyekachi Jermaine Nduka. His last name is Nduka. And I was like, "Oh, Onyekachi, what does that mean?" And he said, "It's a question. It means, who is greater than God?" What? Are you serious? So I'm like, "Bro, okay, you know what? The old is gone, the new has come. You are changing your name. No longer will you be known." It's like Jesus talking to Peter, right? "No longer will you be known as OJ. You'll be known as Onyekachi. Who is greater than God?" So now, when he introduced himself to the church last Sunday, he was like, "My name is Onyekachi." It was awesome. It was awesome, man. But God has just worked powerfully. It's exciting to see Akila get baptized. There's tons of good news. Too much to share. That, you know, we've been able to baptize seminarians. We've been able to baptize Jeremy, one of my really becoming a good friend. I know some of you, Chris might have shared about him. This guy, I mean, literally, he went from, "I'm all about Kant and philosophy," to, "All right, well, yeah, I grew up going to church, but no one was in my life," to, "Oh, I was prideful and I didn't let people in my life," to, "When can we study the Bible?" And this dude, a master student in philosophy at American University, said Jesus was Lord and was baptized in the Christ. Amen? And it was awesome because the night that he was baptized, we baptized the twins. Now, the twins that at Howard that she was talking about, Sharon and Sherry, these guys are incredible. They're like, I mean, okay, they're brilliant. They're like on a track to like an MD, PhD. It's that's how crazy it is. Okay? And so it was awesome because that night, it was like a triplet baptizing right there. Because you had, you know, Sharon and Sherry, and Jeremy's right on in the middle right there. And they're physical twins, amen, becoming spiritual triplets. It's awesome. But Cassell Spence, if you guys know Cassell, is now serving as a ministry intern in the church. Amen. Steve and Grace Droblis have moved from Santiago, Chile to help us build. And guys, be praying. We're trying to build a Latin ministry. Amen. Latins. We're trying to build a Latin ministry in D.C., guys. Pray for that. I tell you, losing your life and your livelihood. I'll show you one quick story and then I'll move on. That really, I think, exemplifies the heart to seek the kingdom first. This couple, Ken and Cheryl Chen. Some of you may know them. Ken and Cheryl, they're a doctor and dentist couple. And they recently moved in January from Delaware with their 4 26-foot trucks. Because Cheryl had a medical practice that they gave up, let their house go, and they moved on up to D.C. Grateful. And literally, before they moved or had the opportunity to move, they would travel 2 hours to church every Sunday. 2 hours from Delaware and got there early. They got there early, guys. And you know I'll be preaching that with people walking late. And now it's convicting because just to be with the fellowship. Guys, now Ken, now they're moved in D.C. Guess what? Ken is still working in Delaware. So now, guess what? Instead of traveling every Sunday 2 hours back and forth, well, 4 hours, now he drives 4 hours round trip every day. Happily. Happily. He has not lost his life in his livelihood. Now he's getting discipling in his marriage, and now his son Kevin is studying the Bible and wants to get baptized. Amen? Guys, we are rich when we invest in God and His kingdom. Amen? Remember Mark 10, guys. God will bless us 100 times more if we're willing to give up everything for Him. Amen? So let's get back to our rich friend in Luke 12. Why else do you think Jesus called him a fool? Let's find out. Turn to Luke chapter 12. My second point is this. His ego overlooked his need for others. His ego overlooked his need for others. The first reason why he was a fool, right? He lost his life in his livelihood. He was so focused on all his other stuff in the world, he didn't realize how quickly he would go. He wasn't seeking God's kingdom first or his righteousness. Point number two, his ego overlooked his need for others. Now, when I was reading that, did you notice my inflection? Did you notice how I said my? You notice that? Guys, if you count, and I counted, in the approximately 60 words where he shares here, he said I and my 12 times. The dude is full of himself. And it's convicting because it's like he didn't see that everything he had was due to the efforts of others. I mean, think about it. He talked as if he could plow the field and build the barns himself. What about all the other dudes that helped him do it? Right? You with me here? His ego was his biggest asset. He didn't realize his life was dependent upon the sacrifice of others. And I want to challenge you this morning. Do you realize how much you need people in your life? Do you realize how much you need other people in your life? 1 Corinthians 12. I tell you to go back to Luke 12. Don't worry about it. 1 Corinthians 12. Guys, whether we realize it or not, we are eternally in the red without Jesus. We are eternally in debt. And I'll tell you something, we need each other more than we can ever realize. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says here, starting in verse 12, the body is a unit. Though it is made up of many parts, and though all its parts are many, they form one body. So it is with Christ, for we were all baptized. Amen? See, if you're a guest here this morning, we don't believe that whole pray Jesus into your heart stuff. We believe the Word of God. For we were all baptized by one Spirit into one body. That is how you become part of the church. Amen? God's kingdom. Not just this church, God's universal church. Whether Jews or Greeks, slave or free, black and white, Asian, Latin, poor or rich. And we are all given the one Spirit to drink. Now the body is not made up of one part, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm an eye, I don't belong to the body, it would not for that reason cease to be part of the body. Guys, you getting the point here?
Yeah.
It goes on here in verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. In verse 25 it says, so there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. There are no cliques. This is not an autonomous church. Because with autonomous churches come autonomous disciples. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. Guys, what affects you affects me indirectly. What affects you directly affects me indirectly. I can never be what I ought to be unless you are what you need to be. And you will never be what you ought to be unless I am who I need to be. You understand what I'm saying here? We need each other desperately. But we live in a world where it's very prideful. I don't need you. Now, we may not say I don't need you. We just don't call each other back.
Whoa.
We don't seek after discipling. We don't seek after getting advice. We think we know what we're doing. Guys, let me tell you something. The rich man didn't get this. It was all about him in his little self-centered world. And let me tell you something. Just because you're in the kingdom of God doesn't mean you're going to heaven. You need people in your life or else you will stray. Because you know what? I don't know what's in the back of my neck. I need someone to show me. I need someone to show me and be in my life. Guys, we're part of a worldwide organism right here. I mean, it's awesome to be able to call up Kyle in Hawaii. We're like, Kyle, bro, how you doing? Bro, I'm hanging in there, bro. Hey, how you doing? Bro, fighting for the Lord. Encouraging each other. Strengthening each other. DJ in New York City. Matt in Santiago. Guys, we need this desperately. Mike Williamson, talking to him the other day. He's going to be going off to start leading the church in London soon.
Yeah.
We had a great talk. It was awesome. He's like, bro, guess who I met the other day? I was like, who, bro? Bro, I met Debo. I met Debo from Friday and invited him out to church. Now Debo is studying the Bible. Yes, Debo. You better give me your bike. Debo, guys, Debo is studying the Bible. All right. Now, does that fire you up? Now, let me tell you something. Hey, hang on with me. I'm going to pull you back in. Well, I'm about to focus on Jesus right now. Guys, does that fire you on up? Does that inspire your faith? Do you see how much we need each other to get to heaven? Guys, Patrick and I are so grateful to be discipled by Chris and Teresa. It's amazing. I talked to Chris on Tuesday. I'm like, bro, man, we've got some people who are close. We're trying to figure it out. And he's like, Andrew, you know what? Bro, you just need to be like Tiger. I'm like, amen, bro. He's like, bro, you need to be like Tiger. You need to focus on the shot that he's taking right now. Don't focus about all the other shots later to come. Just focus on this one shot. Right? Because it's true. If you don't focus on that shot, the other shots won't even come. Just focus on this one shot. I'm like, amen, bro. So you know what I did? I called OJ. I'm like, guys, we need to study. Let's make it happen. And 4 days later, Onyekashi was baptized in the Christ. Yes, it's just like, we got to get serious. Guys, don't ever stop being grateful for the leadership you have in this church. Don't ever stop being grateful for the people that are in your life. You know, I got to ask you a question. Are you really grateful for the people in your life that are helping you get to heaven?
Come on.
Or do you kind of just overlook it? For our guests this morning, do you have someone in your life that's helping you to get to heaven? That's helping you to understand God's word and apply it to your life? How's it going? Confessing sin and walking in the light. You know, the poet John Donne once said, no man is an island unto himself. Guys, we are rich when we allow people to invest in us and we invest in others to help mold us and shape us. Hebrews 3. Hebrews 3. Now take a look. We're going to fly with the Bible today. Hebrews 3 verse 12 and 13 says this. You don't even need to turn there because you know it by heart. See to it, brothers, that none of you has a sinful, unbelieving heart that turns away from the living God, but encourage one another every Sunday. Yeah, that's book of Second Opinions again. Encourage one another daily, as long as it's called today, so that none of you may be hardened by sin's deceitfulness. You have come to share in Christ if you hold firmly till the end the confidence we had it first. Are you getting advice in your life? You know, or are you getting hardened by sins of Stephen? When I think about the kingdom, and I think about, guys, a lot of guys have been coming up to me lately like, Andrew, you know, man, what kind of sisters should I be looking at, bro? What do I need to be thinking about, bro? I'm like, brother, you just need to baptize. Who is greater than God? Guys, I'm telling you, I mean, the advice and the input we get for free. Oh. I mean, singles, you get dating advice, you get financial. I had a whole financial devo for the whole campus of singles ministry recently. Yeah, for free. Yeah. Married, you get marriage advice, parenting advice for free. You know what happens if you go, psychological advice, man, you know. Sometimes I feel like I'm a psychologist up in here. Let's keep it real. You go in the world, man, they say, well, tell me, how can I help you? As they sit down and listen to you for 2 hours. And then give you a bill for $350.
Come on.
Guys, it is, you know what? We have got to be grateful. We got to see how much we need these others, each other. Or are you like that rich man, confident in his own dreams, that were actually built on the backs of other people? You don't realize this, but there are people that you may know or not know that helped you to become a Christian today. Are you grateful? Do you stay grateful? When's the last time you went up to your discipling partner and you said, bruh, I thank you for investing in me? When's the last time you walked up to someone and said, bro, thank you for persevering with me and helping me despite my knuckleheadedness? We get ungrateful, guys. We get ungrateful for how much people are in our lives. We are rich when we allow people to invest in us, guys. And let me tell you something. If you're not going after getting people in your life, if you're not going after getting the help you need, then Jesus will also call you a fool.
Right.
Last point, simply this. Why was the rich man a fool? Because he worshipped the created rather than the creator. He worshipped the created rather than the creator. Turn to Isaiah chapter 2. Guys, I hope this is inspiring you this morning to not be foolish. I'm hoping to inspire you this morning to not make the same mistakes. To not lose your life and your livelihood.
Come on.
To not allow your pride to overlook your need for others in your life. And to make sure you're not worshiping the things of this world.
Come on,
but truly our God. In Isaiah chapter 2, we're going to take a look there. It's interesting. The rich man prized his barns and the work of his hands, didn't he? And sometimes our focus can be more about what we're building than the builder who is helping us to do it. You ever feel that way? I know as a church leader, guys, I got to make sure I'm focusing. I'm thinking about building my church, but man, am I praying before God?
Come on.
Am I begging God to give me input and wisdom? I need God. I'm just as dependent on God as I am on other brothers in my life. When you confess your sin, do you confess your sin first to God?
Come on, bro.
You know, I noticed that a lot. People confess their sins to each other. I mean, as disciples, we kind of got that down. If you're a part of the church, you understand you need to confess your sin. But do you really confess your sin to God first before you go confessing your sins to other people? Because it's like, it's not some Catholic priest up in here. I can't forgive you. I'm only here to help you. So do you really go before God first and say, hey, God, forgive me? It's serious, guys. Otherwise, God is kind of taken out of the picture. And it's just people. Don't get me wrong. You need to confess yourself to people. It's important. But you need God in there, too. Sometimes our talent and our pride can really blind us to being reliant on God. In Isaiah chapter 2, take a look at this. Isaiah chapter 2, we're going to take a look here, starting in verse 6. It says here, you have abandoned your people. Remember that movie, There Will Be Blood? You guys ever see that movie, There Will Be Blood? Oh, man. There's this, no, it's a brand new movie. Daniel, what's his name? The dude who's like, I've abandoned my boy. I've abandoned my child. You don't remember that? Some of y'all have seen the movie. Amen. It says, you've abandoned your people, the house of Jacob. They are full of superstitions from the east. They practice divination like the Philistines, clasp hands with pagans. Their land is full of silver and gold. All these nice things to worship. There is no end to their treasures. Their land is full of horses. There is no end to their chariots. Their land is full of idols. They bow down to the work of their hands, to what their fingers have made. So man will be brought low and mankind humbled. Do not forgive them. You know, I was walking around in Chicago. I see a lot of skyscrapers going up. I see Trump's Tower. I see all these things. It's all pretty. But yet we're in a recession. That's really interesting. Where did they get the money to do all this? And I'm like, you know what, guys? So often, people just worship the created. You turn on the TV, man, and it's all about HGTV. Look at my house. Look at how I changed the curtains and the bedroom. And I rearranged. It goes from red to white. Look at it. Oh, it's awesome. And I'm like, you know what? If you just spent half the time you were working on your house to get your character right, maybe you still wouldn't be struggling with internet pornography or greed or deceit or gossip and slander.
Come on.
Pimp my ride. All these created things. I'm like, dude, man, how much time do you spend playing Xbox? How much time do you spend doing all this stuff versus getting in the Word and helping someone become a Christian? Guys, we got to get hardline. We say we're hardline. We say we're sold out. Well, let's take a look. Let's take a look. Let's get serious. Do you spend more money on a date than you give each week for contribution?
Oh, say that.
Campus brothers, sisters. Yeah, y'all, some of y'all are turning pink. Teens too. Guys, let's get serious. What are you worshiping? You know, Proverbs 10, verse 4 and 6, it says, the pagans have no room for God. They're opposed to God. It's all about what's true for them and what they want it to be. This whole materialistic philosophy. I ain't got time to talk about that, otherwise I get into apologetics and it'll be another message. I met this guy with Austin, sharing our faith the other day. Remember Austin?
Yeah.
Went to Starbucks. We were hanging out. Austin and I just chilling, getting to know each other. That's what's up. He's a smart guy. He gets it, man. He's like, this evolution stuff, macroevolution, whatever. It's true. I was like, Austin, man, if you go in the forest and you see like some gold watch, you ain't going to think, poof, out of the ground it came. No. That's another sermon. I won't get to that. But you know, it's true. And you know what's so funny? So we're there talking. We move over to sit down and we see this guy. And I say hello to this guy as I'm coming to sit down. And this guy is so shocked that I say hello to him. He turns around. He starts talking. This guy, his name is, I won't go into his name. But the point of it is, he's a Yoruba priest. Some of you may be, I think it's Nigerian. He's like, they're all about, like, nature and, you know, air. And I'm like, bro, amen. But you're worshiping the creator rather than the creator, bro. That's what you're doing. And I got his number and everything. We're going to get together. God, well, I'm passing off to Chris here. Get him to study the Bible. People, all these people in the world, man, they're not focusing on God. They're focusing on the created things of this world to give them happiness. And I think for us, guys, we got to get serious. Turn over to Romans chapter 2, and we're going to start to end here. We're going to end. Sorry. I messed with you. I'm only here for a couple more hours. You know, I only get a while to preach. I'm going to get off and get out of here soon. Guys, the world has a strange parody of the Lord's Prayer. You know what it is? It goes like this. Our brothers, hallowed be our name. Our kingdom come. Our will be done, for there is no heaven. That's the way the world thinks, guys. They don't think about God. They just think about what they've made. It says here, sorry, in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, it says, the wrath of God is being revealed from heaven against all the godlessness and wickedness of men who suppress the truth by their wickedness. Since what may be known about God is plain to them because God has made it plain to them. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature has been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made, so that men are without excuse. For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. That's the world right there, guys. That's the world. They don't want to get to know God. And I think for you, for us this morning, sometimes, I don't know about you, but I got to get away from all this. I got to get away from all the buildings and just kind of get the chance to see God. There's this little prayer, it's like park, Rock Creek Park in D.C. I was like, when I found this place, it was incredible. And you can literally go down and you feel like, I feel like I'm in Ithaca, New York again. It's absolutely beautiful. And I would encourage you guys, how's your prayer life?
Yeah, come on.
Like really, how is your prayer life? Because when you pray, and when you see God's power, you're just inspired. You cannot be inspired. But so often, we're stuck between the four walls that we've created, and that we've made, that it's all about this. There's no more room for God. You need to get away, man. And you need to spend some time with God. Because without dependence on God, guys, our best efforts come to nothing. What good is it to gain the whole world and lose or forfeit your own soul? Guys, I tell you, I look forward to seeing you in heaven with me. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Come on, bro.
There's not many other things that are more important in this life. Not the clothes you wear, not the car you drive. And I'll tell you one thing. When I consider my salvation that God has given me despite my sin, when I consider the support of the kingdom that I've had in my life, the love of my wife, the joy of my friendships, and the gratitude for the men and women who have become disciples since we moved to D.C., I am rich. I am rich. And so are you. I'll leave you with this quote here. Jim Elliot, he was a missionary martyr who lost his life in the 1950s trying to reach these Akwa Indians of Ecuador. He said, quote, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Let me read it one more time for you. He says, quote, "He is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain that which he cannot lose." Guys, that's why we give missions contribution.
Yeah.
Don't let Satan discourage you or distract you from spreading the truth. We want to stand before God, guys. We don't want to stand before God and have him call us a fool. Don't give your best to this world. Remember Jesus. Remember the cross when he said, be willing to go anywhere, do anything, give up. Guys, that's the heart of the Great Commission. That's the heart of the mission's contribution we're giving today. I pray that your giving will show how rich and fortunate you truly are. I love you very much. Thank you.